Good morning. A scripture reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
Today, I'm going to be looking at Galatians chapter 3 and verses 10 through 18. And that in Galatians, Paul, when he talks about the law, he is referring to the moral laws, the civil statutes, and also the ceremonial rituals of that day. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and heavenly Father, our God, we praise thee, thy holy name. We thank thee that we are able to come together without restrictions, with fewer restrictions to honor our Father and our Lord on this holy Sabbath day. We just pray for guidance and direction. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with each one of us, to live within our hearts, to guide us and direct us, and that we will accept that guidance, Father. So we just pray true for your word to continue in our lives, so that through thy word, we know what to do. We know how to live. We know to live our God with all our hearts and mind and soul, and our neighbors as ourselves. And so we just pray, Father, for that true guidance through this coming week. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes. Yes. Title today for this is Jesus Only. And so we see that. And so scripture reading mostly will be in Galatians chapter 3, but we will read some other chapters also. Some of you probably heard this before, but at one time, Elder HMS Richard Sr., who was the founder of the Voice of Prophecy, was asked by an interviewer this question. If he was asked to summarize the gospel in one sentence, how would you answer? Without hesitation, Elder Richards responded, Christ, Jesus only. And we know that is to be true today. And we know that that's a beautiful historical answer that he gave him. And it's relevant to ourselves today in the universal need of humanity. What other workable solution could there be other than Jesus Christ only? We know that Jesus is the answer. We know that some people use drugs, alcohol to cover up the ugly areas of their lives, try to blame it on other things. Others resort to psychiatrists and mental facilities in an attempt to be relieved of their problems, their burdens. But they receive a little help, but the problems still exist. Yet there's others turn to entertainment, illicit sex, even their work as means of escape from the problems and the bitter realities of life. The record is there that we all have the tendency to evil. We have that unyielding modes of behavior where we turn to sin. We have it in I believe that most of us in our hearts despise what we're doing. But yet we know that the flesh is weak. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:13. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Romans 8:7. Some other people try to buy their guilt with strenuous attempts to earn their way to heaven. And we all know that that does not work. And they take ways to smooth the problems that they have. Their conscience is affected. The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Find that in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. And other Christians ignore the words of God and the testimony of Jesus. They ignore God's law that we have because they think that they're saved by grace, that they're saved in Christ's hands because of that, only by grace, despite their occasional habitual sinning and the clamorings that they go through in their fallen nature. We all have fallen natures. We know that the only answer to our spiritual and mental needs is provided by Jesus Christ our Lord. The truth is a person, and that person is with a capital P. The correct teachings and the correct ways of life are inseparable from the person of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Only as we reach out by faith is the Holy Spirit able to work in our lives to be able to choose the things that we need for our existence. Peace of mind. Spiritual fulfillment reside only in union with Jesus Christ. So we just pray. Here in the burden of Paul, here in the Galatian epistle, there's four questions are answered in this study. Why the curse? Who are the just? How did Christ redeem us? Has Jesus always been the answer? The first one, why the cross? We can read that in here in Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 12. Verses 10 and 12. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So that we know that anyone that breaks God's law is under the curse of condemnation. We know that the divine law is a standard of righteousness that we can all receive. But if we fail to hold that standard of righteousness, we are subject to eternal death. That means no more contact with our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the consistent teaching of the scriptures. Find that in Romans 6:23. God placed the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden to test Adam and Eve if they would be willing to consistently adhere to his truth, to his commandments, to his government. And we all know it, in a day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17. So we just pray that God's will standard of righteousness is still effective today for each and every one of us. So I pray that we will go by that. Acting contrary to that will, we know that we will have eternal death. That our first parents ate of the forbidden tree. They disobeyed God's law, his standard, and they brought sin and death into the world. The curse came upon them and their children because of sin. And we have that curse today because of sin. Paul discusses that result of that sin in Romans chapter 5 in verses 12 through 21. You would turn to there. Romans 5. chapter 12 through 21. Not going to read them, but I want us to look at verse 12 there. Wherefore, as by one man sin had entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes. And then I want to read it in the Revised Standard Version also. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and the death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned. So we know that the curse that results is a curse of death that man receives. And why did death come upon all humanity? That's a question that we can be answered. We can find that answer in verse 18 of that there, where I'm using the Revised Standard Version again. Then as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men. And I heard this question also this week in one sermon that I heard. Why should the whole world be cursed with the condemnation of Adam and Eve? Because of that, of their sin. Why was the inhabitants of earth as guilty of what Adam and Eve did? And we know that the Bible answers that and says, no, we are not. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:20. Every human being is born with a disease. Each and every one of us has a disease. And that's our fallen nature that we have. Because our first parents chose to disobey God. I know with things that are happening around us, the influence around us, the intimidation that's given in many times, in many ways, that it's hard to follow the Bible, to follow the law of God. But we know that if we persist it, to allow the Holy Spirit into our lives, be persistent, to know the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will prevail. Each one of us. We know that we were not born guilty, but we have a fallen nature. Every human being cannot live with God with that fallen nature. There has to be a change. There has to be a transformation. And if we don't allow that transformation in our lives, we know that, as we said, Jesus said, you must be born again in John 3:7. The opportunity to be changed and develop that transformation has been available to everyone in the world that it has ever been and is today. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. We know that we need to read our Bibles. So we see that. We go back to Paul in Romans 5:12-21 consistently points us to the sacrifice that Christ made for all humanity to die on a cross or a tree. Believing in Christ, anyone can find redemption by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that each one of us has the Holy Spirit living within us. No one has to be lost eternally because of the dominance of the fallen nature that we do. But we just pray that as we continue to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our God, that we read Scripture daily, that we pray daily, that we will grow in Christ and have his sacrifice take the place of our sins. It's natural for us to sin. It maybe seems funny, you know, but it is. It's natural for us to sin. But there is a solution to that. We know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The curse resulting from Adam's sin is the fallen nature that each and every one of us has. We were born with it. And it was natural, as I said, for us to sin. But at every age of history, God has a solution. He has a way of escape for each and every one of us. And we pray that we take that to overcome sin in our lives. That's our daily work to be done. But when a person chooses to sin, that person comes under the condemnation of sin. And that's eternal death. But it's because of his own sin, not Adam and Eve's sin. Only by accepting Jesus Christ can we be forgiven and transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Our means of salvation from sin are placing ourselves not under the curse of the law, but under the transforming power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that if we rely only on our works for salvation, we have to insist on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only means of the way that God can save each and every one of us. So I pray that we do that. Once again, if we don't do that, once again, we're under the dominance of fallen nature and no power to overcome sin. Again, we are condemned by death, by the law that we have broken. We know that there's that saying, once saved, always saved. But we know that's not true. We may be saved today, but we could lose that assurance tomorrow by the way that we act and live. So that. And in contrast, context of the book of Moses, the command to obey the law always implied that it was to be done in reliance upon the covenant relationship with Jehovah. And that is for us today. And if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verses 5 and 6. And they're all familiar to all of us. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Yes, to have the commandments of God in our heart. We know that obedience is based on a love relationship with God. He writes the law upon our hearts. And as he does that, that is the essence of the righteousness by faith. Romans chapter 10. Circumcision of the heart. All of us need that. We need that. We need a spiritual transformation that results in a personal union with Jesus Christ. It was essential for the Israelites who wished to obey God's law. And it's just essential for each and every one of us today to know that we need to rely upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And again, as we look at Galatians 3, verses 10 and 12, Paul separates the principles of obedience from the means of obedience. He shows that without the latter, a faith-grace union with God, a person is bound to fail. Our present obedience cannot atone for past sins. Our present obedience cannot atone for past sins. The fact is that without God's control in our lives, and the control of the Holy Spirit, we are the victims of sin. Who are the just? You feel that you're just? Do you feel that you're righteous this morning? If we look at it, verses 11, back to Galatians 3. And look at verse 11. but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yes, faith is what saves us. These principles spoken here comes from the quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The just is the righteous person. Such a person is righteous because of the faith in Jesus Christ. That I know that a lot of times in my life, each day and each week, sometimes I don't feel very righteous by the things that I do. And to really say that we are righteous, I still say that we're not truly able to say that until Jesus comes to take us home. Then we truly will know that we are righteous. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed. So we need God's righteousness revealed in us. And that knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. We underestimate the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I believe. I know that I do. So we just need to ask daily for the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. Excuse me. The gospel is the power of God to the believer because he experiences the righteousness of God. God is righteous so that the believer is himself is righteous. And that transforming power of God is given to us. Paul emphasizes that because of the teaching of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, divine mysteries are revealed to us, not to the world, not to the unbeliever, but to believers in Christ, the readers of his word. So we know that we have another reason to read the gospel. Understand them, to know them, that they are truth. To believe that the whole Bible is the inspired word of God, and it is truth. The revelation that the Bible gives to us is a spiritual experience resulting from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that we may know that the Son of God reveals the revelation of the Lord, of his Father. It's given to the heart of the humble believer. We have to be humble. We have to be living in humility. And the acceptance of God's righteousness is bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit. The divine revelation of righteousness to the heart of the believer is a power that transforms us forever. From a habitual sinner to a habitual follower of Jesus Christ. So we just pray that we will be that. And that same power gives us the right to be in heaven. We know that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to gain eternal life. It is all through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. What he has accomplished on the cross. We see the light coming from heaven. And in that light, we see the cross where our Savior sacrificed himself 2,000 years ago so that each and every one of us could be here today. And that we can have the surety of eternal life in each one of our lives. So if you turn to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. Chapter 2, verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We have to be reborn. Because Christ comes into our hearts, we can have his presence in our lives and in our hearts. And in that sense, we are righteous. How did God redeem us? We can look at verse 13 if we go back to Galatians 3. To look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now let's just quickly, we have time, let's quickly look through verses 14 through 18. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereof. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he shall not, and to his seeds as many, but as one, and to the seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God, of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no means of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And we do know that. That Christ bore our sins, the human guilt and condemnation, upon that he took upon himself that which was ours, that we might take upon us that which is his. And if we quickly turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This really is a verse that we all should have underlined or marked. For he that made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ellen White tells us in The Desire of Ages, page 25, Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life that was his. With his stripes we are healed. So we know that there. We know that when Christ bore our sins upon the cross, he was not merely counted to be a sinner without any of the accompanying sufferings, that because the one separated from God, he suffered far greater than we can ever suffer on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we bring death to sins, that we should bring death to sins, should have unto righteousness. So to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Just as Christ himself was treated as a sinner, completely innocent, he suffered in himself the intense agony, the essence of the human guilt that each one, every one of us has to go through, so that we can have that experience ourselves, to the thrill of taking upon ourselves his righteousness by the Holy Spirit, so that we can have eternal life. And the last one is, has God always been the only answer? We said that right from the beginning, that he is. He is the only answer. Always the only answer. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ for each and every one of us to have eternal life. Paul's opponents there were suggesting that the law God gave to the Israelites at Sinai should be used as a means of salvation. They implied that their efforts to obey and keep the moral in these law and ceremonial law resulted in righteousness for them. acceptance with God and a place in his kingdom. But Paul gave them an answer to that. And he proclaimed that his law from Sinai was in no way content to destroy the law given at Sinai that he made with Adam 430 years before. And we see that in verse 17. Paul points out, and we see that the legal covenant between two people should never be broken unless two parties agree. But we look at most of the covenants that God made. Man broke. God did not break not one of his covenants that he gave to man. But it is man that does the breaking. And so let's look at God's agreement with Abraham this way. These next few words I'm taking from Elder Elwin Gain. Abraham, you trust me, and I will give you a son in your old age, and the Messiah will be one of your direct descendants. Genesis 12:3. Galatians 3:8. Also, Abraham, you believe in the Messiah to come, and I will give you the gift of my righteousness by the Holy Spirit. Genesis 15:1-6. Galatians 3:6-14. Again, Abraham, you believe in me, and I will give you and your descendants the land of Canaan as a token of the heavenly Canaan that you will inherit at the second coming of Jesus. Genesis 17:7-8. The Messiah, his righteousness for those who have faith in the heavenly land. These three major promises were valid from Sinai to the cross. They were not abolished or modified by the giving of the law at Sinai. No one was saved by obedience before Sinai. And we know that nobody can be saved today by the law, by keeping the law. We know that we have to keep the law, but the law does not save us. The Israelites were saved by grace every step of the way, all of their history. The only way for them to be saved was by grace. And Christ was just as much the answer to them as he was to Abraham, and he is to us today. Grace. We know that the Ten Commandments were given at Sinai as a standard of righteousness for all ages of history. There's never been any change at all, and especially the fourth commandment. The Lord intends for us to keep it by the faith in Jesus Christ. We know that we can't do it ourselves. The infinite power is given to every person to obey the law of God. Receive his divine presence in the righteousness by the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. I pray today that we've done that. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. And as I sum up this, the curse of the law from which we are condemned, or that we are redeemed when we trust in Jesus Christ, is a guilt of condemnation that we incurred by disobeying God. We still have that guilt today. When we try to make ourselves righteous, which many of us do or have done in the past, we know that our efforts fall and we come under that curse of condemnation once again. Jesus bore our sins on the cross so that we can become his righteousness by the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray that each one of us has the Holy Spirit in our lives today. the things that are happening rapidly in the world with this coronavirus, things that they say are going to change with a new administration. We know that the day of Sunday laws are coming closer and closer each day. We have to be prepared for that time if we will be alive at that. We know not when that Sunday law will be given, but we know that it is going to be given because the word says so. The wonderful gift of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit enables us to obey the will of God and his law. As I said, Jesus only, Jesus always. Thanks be to our God. We know that we cannot save ourselves, but we can set ourselves up to be saved. We need that transformation of character to be able to have that happen. We need to be submissive to the master potter, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he can form us and mold us and make us into the likeness of God. So we just pray this morning that that will happen with each one of us. That we allow those hands upon us to mold us and to change us. Yes, my Heavenly Father, I pray that each one will fall on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will allow the Holy Spirit to live within us, to guide our thoughts and our minds, to convict us of a sin, to convict us that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we may gain eternal life, gain entrance into the eternal kingdom, that we will be in the city one day soon. For we know that the city cannot be called the bride of Christ until the inhabitants inhabit the city. And I pray that each and every one of us will be part of those inhabitants. But we go from this place with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Thanksgiving that we still have the opportunity to live according to the law of God. We know that everyone is trying to change us, change that. We know that even they're trying to change our children's thoughts, trying to take away the parents as being the teachers because they have a better answer to influence our children to follow the ways of the devil. We pray for guidance and direction for the parents that are going through the times now that they're going through with the virtual learning that they have with their children, not hand in hand. So we pray that at this time, even though they're busy with working and such, that they will teach their children's right and wrong. They will teach their children what they need to know so that they may grow to be adults and be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.